Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And, besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Lap Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with delirium at the mere mention of my name. This is the Mark Unger Show. I am, of course, Mark Unger, coming to you directly from the continent of Africa. It's getting dark here already. It's winter here. It's 10 o'clock back Central Time. It's 5 o'clock here as the sun is going off into the distance. But yet we're able to connect via the miracle of technology. This is the show that discusses all things concerning
marriage.
I am, of course, the one, the only, Mark Unger.
There's a lot of things about me you don't know anything about. Things you wouldn't understand. Things you couldn't understand. Things you shouldn't understand.
Joining me as always is the lovely and charming Diane Brierley.
Why don't you take a picture? It'll last longer.
And of course, the incomparable Ross Allen Skorzewski.
Good. We can finally start the big meeting.
Engineering as always, Timothy Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this show. This is the show where we handle all of your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markunger.com. How y'all doing today?
Good.
Wonderful.
How are you?
I still think it's pretty amazing that every time you want to go somewhere nice to do Laugh Your Way seminars, you end up going to a cold place. You know, in the middle of winter, you go to Fargo or Bismarck, you know.
Yeah.
And in the summer, you go to South Africa where it's winter. It's just, I think it's great.
Yeah, truly lovely. You know, part of it, there's a reason behind it, is that we do conferences. And when the weather's really nice, people don't want to go inside to a conference.
Right.
So people tend to book us when weather is lousy.
Yes. So
we have
so you go to the lousy weather place.
Let's go to where it really stinks weather ministry. This is what we do. So on occasion, we break it. You know, we'll go to a Hawaii. That's always nice. Or we just got another call again to go back to the Virgin Islands, mm-hmm. which is always nicer. So we on occasion, we get the nice break. But generally speaking, yes, it tends to be rainy and or cold and or windy wherever we go.
It's been really nice here. I keep wishing that you were in Wisconsin and that your boat was out and ready so that I could come over and go out on the boat with y'all because it's been hot. Oh, my gracious.
96 degrees yesterday.
Like, where's that Gunger and where's this boat? I need to be out on the boat.
Oh, that's cool. Now, well, a couple more weeks. We'll be back. We'll be back. Hopefully July is equally – hopefully we're not having our 2 weeks of summer and it'll be over by the time I get home.
Pretty much because we're supposed to go back to like 60s.
Yeah. How can it drop 30 degrees in a day only in Wisconsin for crying out loud? Anyhow.
No, actually, you know, what was really bad was in Pretoria. It's like during the day, it's like summer in Wisconsin. I mean, warm sun, it's glorious, beautiful, clear skies in the 70s. And then as soon as the sun goes down, it drops like 50 degrees. It's like, it's crazy, man. It is cold. Cold, 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 cold.
But I could deal with that as long as it was nice during the day.
Yeah.
I could handle
that.
Well,
the bummer is doing meetings, talk about doing meetings. I mean, they do the meeting in these buildings that are not heated. Mm-hmm. So when I'm doing, when I was in Pretoria, I'm literally speaking, there's clouds of steam coming out of my mouth and nostrils as I'm speaking. People everywhere are huddled up. They're like at a Packer game. you know, with jackets and blankets all around them. And I'm thinking, seriously, you people paid money to come sit here, freeze to death, and listen to me ramble. I was pretty impressed, but it was cold. It was nasty cold. So, but again, as soon as the sun comes up, boom, wow. You're hot. You're taking your jackets off. You know, it's like, wow, serious temperature flux. And so anyway, I hope it holds out because July is coming. It's usually gorgeous in Wisconsin in July, and I just plan to spend most of the month on my boat, and it'll be glorious.
The weather needs to hold.
Yes, it does.
Hallelujah.
Okay. I have an article. I sent it to you way over in South Africa, but I don't know if you actually looked at it, and it's okay. You don't need to. I'll just read it anyway.
Not only did I not look at it, I don't feel like looking at it.
No, I didn't think that you would, but that's okay. It's a pretty easy one to follow along with, so I don't think you need to have it in front of your eyeballs.
What are you saying? I'm slow? Mm-hmm. You mean I'm kind of a dumb guy?
I kind of dumbed it down for you. Yeah, I did.
You're trying to say I'm not very smart. Is that what you're trying to say?
I think that you should be able to track with this one. There's a new church that
did. For heaven's sake, you think I'm kind of slow, don't you?
No, I don't think that.
Different.
I know that.
I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
That's right, you do, and that's the important thing. There's a new church that doubles as a dating service for young singles. Have you heard about this?
Hey, that's what we got to do.
Mm-hmm. It's actually a Mormon church outside of Washington, D.C. area. It says the first singles-only chapel for Mormons in their 20s, 30s, and 40s has been opened in a bid to help members mix, mingle, and get married as soon as possible. They have
the three M's.
Yes. They have 800 members who get together for worship services, Bible studies, games of table tennis, and other activities.
Wow.
That was funny. It represents Mormonism's exalted view of marriage and its strategy to get single people to wed as quickly as possible by separating them from the married people. So it's a singles-only church. That once they hook up, not hook up in the wrong sense, but once they get married,
kicked out of the church?
They're kicked out and they go to the married church. They don't stay in that one. So this is only for the single people.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was quite interesting. They said there's a lot of dating in the congregation, which can sometimes mean competing with a friend for the potential partner.
Yikes.
Oh, brother.
They have three congregations, actually. They have two for people that are age 19 to 30, so the younger people occupy two different services, I guess. And then there's a smaller one for those 31 to 45. So apparently they don't want
to keep the geezers from hitting
yes,
on the young chicks, huh?
Apparently. I'd never heard of that. I thought that was interesting. It's in the Mormon church out in D.C. area, so maybe you should start a singles-only campus.
Wow.
All the singles have to go to this one. Everybody wants you to start the Gungor dating service.
Yeah, I know, but who's got the money for that?
Or the time.
Somebody out there, you want to invest with Mark Gungor and create an online dating service? Give me a call.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be happy to talk with you and find the resources to begin such a program.
Yeah.
But I ain't got it, I'll tell you that. But that'd be fun, though, wouldn't it?
It would be. It would be fun. Well, you could teach them and preach to them.
With our twisted take on dating. Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Everything could be taught the right way. So those marriages could be much more on solid ground than some of the goofy ones that start off because they would have the right information and do it right from the get-go. I think that's a really fabulous idea. The Gungorian Church of Singles.
Right, but whatever.
What? Geckos. You always say that.
Gecko. Right from the get-go. You mean like the gecko?
Yeah. Are there geckos in Africa?
Probably.
Yeah. Lizards and snakes and stuff like that. I don't like those.
I don't like spiders and snakes.
That's Jim Ray
Stevens. It's winter here. So everything.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's winter here and it's cold.
They're hibernating.
So the good news is the scorpions and the spiders and the snakes are all sleeping. Mm-hmm. The bad news is I'm freezing my butt off when I go out in the dark.
Yes, and you don't like the cold. We feel sorry for you.
I don't like the cold, no. Yeah, boo-hoo.
Okay, the first email...
But the sun is great.
The first email today is actually asking about a story that's been in the news, and perhaps you have heard about this one all the way over there, too. She says, I'm a couple of months behind listening on podcasts, so I don't know if you've discussed this, but I'd love to hear Mark's reaction. She wants to know what you think about this couple in Canada that have chosen to keep their baby's gender a secret. Have you heard about that?
Oh, I saw a headline about it, and I was going to look at the story, and I thought, oh, how stupid.
This is the gist of it. They had this baby. It was like 5 months old, 6 months old now. They named the child Storm, and they have refused to tell anybody, but for the doctor knows, and like maybe one or two people in the family who are not disclosing whether this is a boy or this is a girl, because they insist that they're going to raise this child gender neutral so that the kid can decide what he or she is, apparently. But they have other older kids, and they didn't do this with the other kids. They decided to do this with this one. What do you think of that?
Good night.
What do I think? I think they're idiots. Yeah. They're just complete morons. I mean, of all the goofy, stupid things, what would possess someone at this point in life with your third kid to leave a mystery as to what it is?
Well, it's you're born anatomically something. I'm sorry. I know that they say that there's men trapped in women's bodies and vice versa, but you anatomically are born with something.
So what you're saying is that this child grows
what about the
up.
Wiener?
Yes, that's right.
And then makes a decision to be something that it's not. Then their parents are going to do a gender reassignment.
Well, at some point,
I guess
if it's a girl, it'll start growing boobs.
Well, then you decide, no, I want to be a girl. I want to be a boy. What do you do? Like Ross is saying, you won't have the surgery. The whole thing is just so twisted to me.
Talk about selfishness. You know, they think that they're doing this child a favor. It's more about them. They're going to create a world of absolute chaos.
It's just crazy nonsense. It's crazy nonsense.
It is.
People are
I'm going to wait to see if it decides to be a girl. What are you going to do? Take it to surgery if it decides to be a girl, if it's a boy?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know. How confusing, how awful for the kid. I mean, really, how awful for that kid.
Oh, it'll be horrible, but they're I think they're doing this great, you know, service by their child.
Crazy.
Why? What's the significance? I don't know.
Stupid.
Anyhow, okay, are you ready for a little email comment here and a challenge to Mark's way of thinking?
Can't imagine that.
He says, I wanted to thank Mark for his outgoing personality and humanness. I think non-Christians think Christians have to mute our personalities and eccentricities to be holy. So he apparently
thinks... Are they saying I'm eccentric?
Apparently.
Outrageous.
And he's thanking you for not muting your personality, although some days it would be helpful.
I need a mute button, man.
He wants to know, has Mark seen any of Andy Stanley's recent talks on sex, marriage, and dating? Between Andy's wisdom and Mark's, I'm forming a game plan on answering my four kids and foster kids' questions about sex and marriage. And somebody else emailed in that apparently Andy Stanley has been doing a series on young marriage and doing it right that sounds very similar to yours. So there is somebody else out there.
I know that Andy watched my DVDs and loved them, and I'm going to be at Andy's church in September.
So,
by personal invitation of the man himself. So
very
apparently
nice
he likes
for you.
What I'm thinking. But you know what? I'm not the only guy talking about this. Focus on the Family just came out with a thing.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of guys. And what was it? Christianity Today a year or two ago had a whole front page article on the importance of young marriage. You know, it's not like I'm the only one doing this. There's lots of key people who are.
Yes.
And they have all the science behind them. They have all the facts. It's the people who talk for delayed marriage that, in my opinion, are complete morons. They have nothing basing on such foolishness. But so great. Good. I'm glad to hear it.
The message is getting out there and more people are saying what you're saying. But here's where he is challenging you a little bit. He says, I like Mark's thinking about 19-year-olds getting married instead of having sex, but I don't think that most 19-year-olds are mature enough to be married or pick a compatible spouse.
Baloney. He's wrong. He's just wrong. Could you be any more wrong? Just look in the mirror and say, you're wrong.
You're wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong.
He's wrong. He's wrong. You know, it's interesting. They're not mature enough to commit. Jesus said the greatest amount of commitment anybody can give is to lay down their lives for their friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the greatest amount of commitment. Isn't it interesting that right now there are men and women in Afghanistan and Iraq laying down their lives for each other, giving the greatest amount of commitment Jesus said is humanly possible, and they are routinely 19, 20, 21 years of age. Don't tell me a 19-year-old is incapable of it. I, you little nitwit, was 18 when I got married. I was capable of it. So the idea that a 19-year-old is incapable, is ludicrous and absurd. And whose phone is ringing? Oh, is that the office phone?
Nope.
No.
That's in your world.
Do you hear that?
Is
it my world ringing?
It must be.
Oh,
there's no phone ringing here. You're hearing things.
Must be here.
Well,
can't imagine that. Did you hear the phone ringing?
I heard something real faint in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's got to be over here then. All right.
Well, his question about a compatible spouse, too. I mean, that's assuming that you have to find somebody who you... That's like eHarmony. You have to be compatible with.
Nonsense. He is wrong. Yeah. Wrong.
First of all, if you're not having sex and being stupid, the odds are pretty much with you that you're going to make a good decision. It's only when you start having sex that you start making dumb decisions.
Absolutely.
So
a 19-year-old is eminently capable of... And here's the crazy thing about it. Dude, listen to me. Guys like you and women like you who argue with me about this, you act as if what I'm saying is something bizarre and strange that's never been tried before in the annals of human history.
Whoops!
quit putting that in my anal. I hate that. But as if it's never been tried before in the annals of human history. For thousands and thousands and thousands of years of human history, men and women routinely got married at 19, actually anywhere from 13 to 19 years of age. It is you guys in the last 30 years that has come up with this foolish concept that a 19-year-old is incapable of making such a decision and they should wait as long as possible. Interesting, during the same period of time, divorce rates have been spiking through the roof. So apparently it is your thinking that is foolish. It is your thinking that is nonsensical. It is your thinking that has very bad track record. My thinking has thousands of years of human history. The people who built the country in which you live right now, dude, was built by men and women who got married when they were 19, 20, 21 years of age. Fought and died and bled for their country when they were 19, 20, 21 years of age. Raised children in their 20s. This idea of waiting until you're almost 30 and then trying to raise a family in your 30s and 40s, maybe. This is new. This is nonsense. This has bad results.
Yes, so, it does. So there you are. how are we doing on time? Do we need to take a break or...
That's an elephant flatus.
Did you just call Mark an elephant?
Elephant. It's a flatulating elephant from their anals.
Oh my gosh. That's just nasty.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with more insulting things right after this.
He's a pastor, best-selling author, and popular marriage speaker. He's Mark Gunger, bringing you hard-hitting and honest marriage advice. If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men's brains are very unique. Men's brains are made up of little boxes. And we have a box for everything. We've got a box for the car. We've got a box for the money. We've got a box for the job. We got a box for you. We got a box for the kids. We got a box for your mother somewhere in the basement. We got.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
My sport is football, but my passion is education. My name is Nnamdi Asamoah, and this is how I live United. I see too many kids miss out on moving up. Kids who could go on to college, but just need that extra little push. So every year, I take promising high school students on a college tour. We check out the dorms, the library, meet some professors, find out where the best late night grub stops are. It shows them that there's a whole world beyond their own. But what's even better is that most of these kids decide college is for them. I'm Nnamdi Asamoah. I show kids that a higher education means a brighter future. So when it comes to living United, I don't just wear the shirt, I live it. Join me.
It takes all of us working together to make a difference. Find out how you can live United for Education. Give, advocate, Volunteer. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Cause only you can save men now from this misery.
You are listening to the Mark Gunger Show, where we are grooving as we talk to you about love, marriage, and dating. Questions you can send to us at markgunger.com.
Okay, this email says, "Hey Mark, I love your show. I saw you at Celebration Church in Florida." That's a guy.
Oh.
He's been listening to your podcast for a while. Anyhow,
that's a great church down there. We had a great time with them.
He says, "I have a situation where my wife was having issues with her son, who's 19 years old. It's his stepson, and her ex-husband. Both of them, the 19-year-old son and the ex-husband, have a way of stretching the truth, and it gets the wife really upset almost every time the truth gets stretched, and then it transfers to our current family. We have two little ones, and the middle child is 8 years old, and he did not tell the truth and did not complete his homework when he said that he did not, and he said he did not have homework, so he lied and stretched the truth to her. So she gets really upset by this. He says, okay, long story short, this gets her upset, and I'm trying to calm things down. I told her not to yell at me, and she gave me the evil stare. I told my son, you just better learn from your mistakes. And,
I have no idea what she's talking about, Ross.
I know, I'm sure you don't.
I don't either.
So he told the little boy to learn from your mistakes and try not to make them again. But his question is, how can I try to tell her to separate the past and this other ex-husband and older son from the present with him and the new kids? How can you tell her to separate that?
Very carefully. Mm-hmm. You do it very carefully. No, I mean, nobody wants you sticking anything in their face. So when you talk to her, talk to her. And wait till she's open for input. Mm-hmm. You know?
And truthfully, it's very hard.
There's nothing more frustrating than being in a situation and someone advising you on what to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a backseat driver, you know? So if she starts spiraling out and she gets very frustrated and cry, what am I supposed to do? Say, well, let me talk to you. Now she's asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can get... So I would be careful with the unsolicited
advice
comments to your wife, you know. I mean, I don't know. Unless you feel you have to speak, then you have to speak. And sometimes there's conflict. Look, people, marriage is impossible if you don't have conflict. It is destined for conflict. Now, that means you need to fight. Get my book, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. Mm-hmm. I got a whole chapter on how to fight. How to fight fair. Not to be a mean, stinking puke when you fight. But everybody fights. Everybody has conflict. There's some situations. I mean, there's in a church, you can't possibly have a successful church if you don't have conflict from time to time. You have to deal with issues. You can't possibly have a business where you're moving forward with employees where you don't at times have conflict. I mean, don't freak out that there's conflict. Just handle it the right way.
And the truth is, speaking from my own experience, that it is quite difficult when you have all of the ghosts and shadows of the past like that and things happened in your previous life and with your previous spouse, and then the new one does something, and it may not be the same motivation, it may not be the same thing, but boy, if it even dances close to that fire, it just throws the gasoline on it. And I have had to learn, no, he's not that person. No, it's not the same thing, but I have to stop and realize, why am I overreacting and getting so upset? And realize, because it's like ripping the scab off the old owie and causing me problems.
That's what it is. That's what it is. And that's part of the problem when you marry into someone who's been in other relationships. And that's part of the...
Yeah.
There's an automatic connection that's going to happen, and you just have to be aware of it.
Yeah. And it's hard to, you know, and now even to the point I will react, but more quickly I'll realize, I'm reacting to the past. I'm not reacting to the present, and I can pull it and reel it in a little bit better. But you really have to be real conscious of that, because it's just the way that it is. That's the
well
way
said.
It is.
Well said. Brilliant. Simply brilliant.
Excuse me, that sneeze
was
really
Ross.
Loud.
My gosh, so you blew your brains out on the other side of the room.
Sometimes you just can't keep them inside. They feel better being
just
released.
Can't keep it in. Okay, next email says...
He blew his brains out.
Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful.
No. You need to do some wiping up of the wall over there.
Oh, Lord.
Next email says, my husband, my two-year-old baby girl, and myself have just moved to a beautiful little town. We've been married for 4 years and haven't...
Separately, or y'all moved together?
Together. They moved together. They've been married for 4 years, and they haven't truly attended any church before now. So, I just had an argument with my hubby about church issues. With all due
respect... That's lovely.
Yes.
Nothing like arguing
over
about
church.
God.
Yes, that's right. She said, with all due respect, I really... really, really don't like those kinds of churches where people have to be so noisy, scream every 2 seconds, jump all over like crazy, and overdo the baby babbling, the speaking in tongues, she says. Fall down, shake, laugh, cry, and where you have to be...
Baby babbling.
Yes,
wow.
Yes. She says where you have all to right. be highly spiritual or sensible, in my point of view, to be godly. So she's saying all of this has to happen or they don't consider you very spiritual. She says, okay. I mean, I admit they're very nice people and what they preach is most of the time accurate, but I'm really not into this feeling kind of ministry. Well, my hubby has been attending a church like this one. He actually goes twice a month and he's not really into doing any of the things they do. I suppose he feels more comfortable there because his mother also attends there and she has taught him that any other church that is not like this one is, quote, spiritually dead. On the other hand, I like churches where there's a sense of order and you can actually hear the sermon and put your mind and intellect into thinking and learning what you're being taught. So I propose that we go to a more conservative church, and he refused. He says he won't go to a spiritually dead church, even though he doesn't even want to roll nor even participates in the activities of the church he's attending. I mean, he won't even try to go and see a different church. I'm really frustrated. I don't like what she calls girly churches. He said that if I didn't like it, I could go to my church and he could go to his church. But that doesn't even sound right, does it? Horrible example for my kid. I love my husband and know that a wife should follow, but do I really need to go there, Mr. Gunger?
Well, you know, she's not going to like this, but I would suggest yielding to your husband and going to the church. Look, sometimes you do it just for your family. Sometimes you just do it for peace.
Yeah.
I went to a church for 18 years that for the bulk of the time, I really couldn't stand it. I thought they were all nutbags at some level.
And you went there for 18
friends,
years.
You know. But I went, for a long time, you know, and it's okay. And you talk to your kids, and I didn't always do everything everybody else did and all that kind of stuff. Just, you know, if they do it and you don't want to do it. But, I would say be very kind and respectful to your husband and just... go to church.
Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles.
You'll never conquer that thing that's got a hold of you until you bring it out of secret, out of the darkness, and bring it into the light.
And you know, that is such the key right there. Because truly what it boils down to for me, my experience is that I had to get to that place where I've said, I've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have another ace up my sleeve. In every situation, I believe that it's a constant surrender.
Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now. Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this 4-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. Okay? It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with national abstinence speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. Honest and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
Students, you have a 4 times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, Dating, and Relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, dating, and relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today.
The whole color thing's never made sense to me. Who gives a hoot if you're red, yellow, purple, or pink? We're all mixed up anyway. We might as well give each other a break and take a ride. Let's take a ride on the love train.
All aboard the love train with Mark Gunger. No tickets are required. Simply connect via the internet and you can roll right along with us. Song about love. Song about the colors. Who cares about the colors? I'm in Africa, man. All kinds of colors here. Predominantly black, you know, but all kinds of shapes and colors, and it's very, very cool. Hey, has nothing to do with anything, but how's the man cave coming there?
The man cave is in an interesting pattern right now. We're just waiting for a few more things to come in.
Furniture. Is it cool?
Oh, it's
real cool.
The trim is up, and the walls
have,
are painted.
Have they put in the table for Timmy Boy and all the...
No, not yet. That's all. That'll be probably one of the last things.
See, it's a good thing you have 3 weeks yet, because then it will really be in good shape when you
wiring,
get here.
Electrical, you know, a lot of that stuff is still got to get done up in the ceiling. The ceiling grid has all been painted and everything, so it's all on track. It's just timing.
Cool.
Timing.
I'm looking forward.
I could take a picture.
Looking forward to
send it to him. No, don't. He has to have the big reveal. You can't send him pictures and stages along the way. He needs to see the big reveal.
Right. Yeah, the big reveal.
The big reveal.
Move that bus. We're going to stand outside the door and chant, move that bus.
Move that bus.
And then he gets to walk in and see it.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be awesome. Now, here's the thing, though, okay?
Yeah.
You put me in charge of this, and, you know, I'm getting all this stuff, so, you know, you're going to have to just love it.
Oh, he will. Oh, he will just love it.
He's backpedaling.
No.
He's backpedaling already. He's not even done yet.
No. I will. I promise you. I'm doing you a huge favor by making this into the most amazing space that I'm going to want to sit in all the time.
I feel like I'm sitting across from Ty Pennington. It's Ty. No, it's going to be cool. You're going to love it.
So once that's done, then we got to get it all wired and get all the video stuff in and eventually start video streaming this fall. Once we get it all worked out, so it'll be
cool. Will be very fun.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next email says, we must have been talking about wanting versus needing a man, because she said, my ears totally perked up when you mentioned a woman wanting a man versus needing a man. I can't tell you how many times that my husband and I have gone around about that one. I have told him that I don't need him in my life, but I want him in my life. From the female perspective, that is a way more meaningful statement. My husband gets very upset by this. He says I am too independent and he wants to be needed by me and not just wanted. How can I convey what I mean in guy lingo so he hears what I'm really trying to say and not get caught up
mean,
on the semantics?
Can you just quit saying it that way?
Tell
What's
him
the
that
matter
you need
with people?
Tell him
tell
that
him
you,
you
want
need him.
Him.
Yeah. Isn't there a song just about that? I want you to want me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I need you to need me.
Or it's the Elvis one. I want you, I need you, I love you with all my heart. That one. Then you cover all the bases. Come on.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Now, okay, now this is classic. I hope all you people listening to this, here is a classic moronic argument, okay? Here, she knows that when she says, I don't need you, I want you, it upsets him. Why can't you just say, I need you?
Yeah, I do need you.
Why are you having the argument? If you know when you say that, it irritates him, then why do... See, my wife and I, we've had the exact
opposite. I know, I've heard you say that.
I said, I don't want you to need me, I want you to want me. She goes, I do need you. No, you're not listening.
That's right.
I
want,
see,
you know,
everybody
at some
has
point,
their thing.
Even dumb little Marky realizes, you know, time to just let this one go.
Yeah.
Stop fighting that battle. Hey, it could be worse.
Just
you could say, I don't need you or I don't want you. Then you'd really be up a creek.
Exactly.
Stop.
Exactly. You could be in the double whammy where nobody wants you or needs you.
That's right.
If you know the guy wants you to hear, I need you, I'm sure you can come up with a version of that that's not a violation of your conscience. We can say, you know, I really need you. It's like the idiot man who won't tell his wife that he loves her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I shouldn't have to say that. I should.
And it causes problems.
She knows that. She knows, yeah, and you're just ticking her off. I mean, is this this complicated for you people out there? You got a woman who wants you to say I love you. Just say I love you. How incomprehensibly stupid can you be by fighting about this? Here she has a guy who doesn't want to hear I want you. He wants to hear I need you. Well, then tell him.
Just tell
need him. Do you think this is some big evil lie in your soul?
I think people do. It's like, I can't say that because I don't really feel that. And I don't really mean that.
You
so
know,
I can't
no,
really say that.
No, people are stubborn. That's why they are. They are stubborn and they're selfish. Mm-hmm. And they wonder why their marriages stink and why their life sucks. And good grief. You know, if you know it's that clear, all the man is asking for is for you to say, I need, you know what? You just say, look at him and say, baby, I need you.
Right.
And if anybody asks you what that means, oh, it just means I want him.
Yeah. He doesn't need to know what you really mean.
What, I mean, seriously. Just be nice. What's the matter with people?
Well, and if she's just an
honestly,
independent
this
person,
stuff,
just saying that doesn't rob
but
her
still
of her independence.
Just, exactly. Just be nice. Mm-hmm. You know your spouse is only asking for a certain thing, and you got to fight about it. I could see if he didn't tell you what he wanted you to say, and he wasn't clear, and you're trying, and that would be frustrating, okay?
Right.
But when your spouse clearly says, please use the word want or need, just use it. What do you care?
Here's a good example, a good analogy. Now, let's say that she's a mom. Her kid comes home from kindergarten with a drawing. She would have no problem saying, oh, that is such a great drawing, even if it really doesn't look like a great drawing. You know, it's supposed to
of
be a cow.
Of course it doesn't look like
a
great drawing.
Like a
it
car.
Looks like nonsense.
Right. But you would not say, well, you know what? I have to be honest. It really isn't what I
think.
Yeah,
this really sucks.
You tell them what's going to make them feel good and happy about themselves now.
You'll probably never have a career as an artist. You'll probably be selling, you know,
yeah,
batches of white socks out of the back of your truck somewhere, and
you would never say that,
you know, in Guadalajara, Mexico. You know, come on.
You're encouraging. You build the kid up, so you got to do it with your husband too. You're not going to just split hairs on it. And people,
you know, at some point, you probably need to tell him he's handsome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to hear that more often.
You're so handsome,
even though he's probably not.
Well, because women want to hear that. You know? We know that we're not what we used to be, but you still want to hear, you know, that you're pretty, you're beautiful, even though it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, do you want him to say, gee, that looks great on you? Or do you want him to say, you know,
that makes your butt look
you
big.
You really have a fat butt.
You put on a few
man,
over
could,
the years.
You could land an airplane on that thing, for heaven's sakes. I've never
seen a butt
table, so big.
I don't need a coffee table. I'll just rest it on your backside.
I don't need a coffee table. Just stand over here, and I'll put this whole place setting on your rear end. I mean, come on. Do you really want to hear that? Even if it's true, wouldn't it be nice if you just said, you know, you look nice?
Yep.
Just be nice.
People are so funny, aren't they?
Man, I'm
funny odd.
Seriously, I'm telling you, one of these days I'm going to be doing a show with a bottle of Jack in my hand.
That's right.
Just taking swigs in between
you and
me.
In a vial of Valium right next
one.
To it.
Yep, go ahead. All right, come on, give me another one. What else you got?
Popping Valium with a
like
Jack
Skittles.
Daniels shooter. Skittles. Popping Valium like Skittles.
Yep.
Oh, my gracious.
Man.
Okay, here's another follow-up. I'm not sure that you'll remember this email, but I'll try to engage your memory on this. Remember, she was the girl who wrote in that she was extremely jealous and was overreacting and was actually, she described herself as being verbally abusive to her boyfriend, so they broke up until she could get a handle on her self-loathing and all of this stuff. So you answered the question. She really didn't like it because, one, oh, guess what? We made another assumption. We assumed they were having sex. And apparently they were not having sex.
Wow.
But I think that she's the one that's called them their partner. And so I think that when you use the word partner, I think that that's the
partner, we think you're having sex.
Yeah. So anyway, for whatever reason, we assumed that. And she said, although I'm quite shocked that you all assumed I was having sexual relations with him, I can understand that from your perspective, you probably get a lot of emails similar to this where the women are having sex with their boyfriend.
Yeah,
so she's not taking it personally that we assume the worst. But anyway, all of that, she's still working on herself. They're still not back together. But she wants her original question answered, which was that she gets so upset about the appropriateness of the interactions between him and his other friends. Now, you know, apparently they say, oh, I missed you, I loved you, and they hug and kiss each other like a lot of friends do. But this is what's really setting her off. And she still wants an answer
Diane
to that
question.
Diane hugs
me all the time because she loves me.
I am a huggy person.
So she's upset of how...
She loves me.
She doesn't like it. She thinks that he should not, even though that they've been friends for years, all the way, you know, for many, many years, that when they greet each other, say, oh, I love you, I miss you, you know, and they say hug and kiss, hello and goodbye and stuff like that. That she wants to know if that's okay. But it really, really bugs her because she thinks that he shouldn't be doing this, that should be reserved for her. And she thinks that's what's setting off a lot of her insecurities.
Well, don't ever date a Latino guy.
That's right.
Good night.
I hug and kiss everybody.
Yeah,
hello,
we hug and kiss everybody.
Yeah, I do too. And I'm not Latino, but it's just
we hug people we don't even know.
Yeah, much less people you've known
long. And Latino culture, when you meet a young lady, you kiss her on the cheek. You don't even know her. This, like we would shake hands. You reach over and you.
Yeah.
You know. So I don't know. I think
some people don't like it. Then you got to date somebody who's real stoic and doesn't have any friends. If that really is a problem for you.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's like he's probably not going to change. It would be really hard for me to change it. I mean, if my husband suddenly said to me, I hate that when you see Mark and Ross or any other guy at church, that you hug them and hello and goodbye.
We're talking polite hugs. We're not talking full.
No.
Frontal boobs in your chest kind of stuff.
We're not doing all of that stuff. No. But I mean,
because there's people who do that.
There are people who do that. And there are
wives. Oh my goodness,
the
women come up and they'll hug you and they just plaster themselves all over. Yeah. It's like, hello.
Yeah. No, no, no. We're not talking that. But
I can tell it's a little cold out tonight.
Yes, seriously. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah,
but you know, I know
that
there are certain guys that I have backed off from because they do. They hug you a little bit too long and there's a little bit, and that's uncomfortable for me. So I, you know, steer clear of that. But it would be a little
appropriate
difficult
hugging.
To stop it altogether. I would do it.
Yeah, there's appropriate hugging and there's inappropriate hugging.
Right.
If he's inappropriately hugging, then don't put up with it.
Yeah.
If he's appropriately hugging, then you're just a little crazy in the head, and you need to relax. But if it drives you crazy, then don't date a guy like that.
Yeah.
It's very simple, dear.
If you really can't take
if there's some things people just can't get past. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. If she goes crazy over a guy who hugs any other girls, then date a guy who doesn't hug other girls.
Right.
They're not huggy touchy. There's a lot. I'll tell you
what. There's a lot of people
like that. There's probably more guys who do not hug people than those who don't than do.
Do.
So, for heaven's sakes, you know, if that's a problem, just date a guy who that's not his MO. He never.
Yeah.
He doesn't hug people.
And
there you go.
They don't say, I love you. I mean, I say I love you to a lot of people. That's not, she's thinking that should be reserved for her. But I say that to my girlfriends, to my family, to lots of people. I'll hang up on the phone and I'll say, talk to you later. Bye. I love you. And, you know, that's just what I do. But some people really don't like that. I love you. I'm not in love with you, but I love you.
I'm not in love with you, but I love you.
That's what you say all the time.
Except Ross. Ross is in love with me.
Let's
and I'm very uncomfortable with it.
You are uncomfortable with my love.
Oh, please. Very bad connotations going on right now, please.
Okay, so let's take a break. We'll come back with the final section and more of your emails right after this.
Listening to The Mark Gunger Show can drastically reduce your chances of becoming a repeat offender of marital and relational dilemmas in your home. Listen to The Mark Gunger Show Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Standard Time at www.markgungershow.com.
Do you want to discover the heart of your child and who God created them to be? Laugh Your Way America is excited to introduce the Kids Flag Page. This fun and interactive game will help you discover the unique way God wired your child, find the key things that motivate them, and learn what they love most about life. This colorful and engaging activity set will help your child see who they are at their very best and will teach you how to bring out the best in your child. Each Kids Flag Page game comes with everything you need to complete 3 Kids Flag Pages. Designed for children ages 4 to 11, the Kids Flag Page is a fun way for moms and dads to interact with their kids and truly discover the heart of each child. To order your game, go to www.laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Brand new and available now on DVD, Manly Man 3, Time to Man Up. In this third year of the conference, Mark Gunger, comedian Ken Davis, Ed Gunger, and Paul Coughlin challenge men to stop being passive and become courageous leaders among their family and friends.
I think it's amazing. I've been sitting backstage watching this, and I think I get it. We have been neutered. Am I wrong? That isn't the sad part. We volunteered for it.
Order your Manly Man 3 DVD with over 6 hours of both hilarious and serious sessions giving men practical tools to become the man of God he's called them to be. Visit us online at laughyourway.com or call 866-525-2844. Don't wait. Order your copy today at laughyourway.com.
Baby, when you touch me, I can feel how much you love me, and it just blows me away. I've never been this close to anyone or anything. I can hear your thoughts, I can see your dreams. I don't know how you do what you do. I'm so in love with you. It just keeps getting better.
I don't know how you do what you do. This is what my wife says every day. Oddly enough, she doesn't say it very romantically. I don't understand why you do what you do. What is the matter with you? Every little thing that you do irritates the snot out of me.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Mark Gunger Show, where we are attempting to resolve your marital dilemmas.
Quite often I shake my head in amazement at my husband, but it doesn't really match up with
Did you
that
say
song.
In awe?
In amazement.
In awe of
no, in amazement. Yeah, quite amazed.
There's awe. Where you just go, what the heck?
It's shock and awe, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I love you, Adrian Brierly. I don't know
him.
If you're listening, but I love you.
I love you too, Adrian.
Hi, Adrian.
I'm in love with you, man.
Gosh. He hasn't been listening much recently. I don't know what happened.
My wife never listens.
I think he got tired of listening to my voice, quite
Neither
frankly.
Does mine.
She's like the last place.
You have to understand.
To
for those who are married to this, this
it's
isn't nearly.
Not
we're not
so
nearly.
Much
our spouses are not nearly as enamored by us.
All of this blah 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 blah. He gets to hear way too much.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to tune in for an hour a day to hear the blah blah blah
yeah.
blah
yeah,
from
me. That's what my wife wants. She wants an hour, an extra hour of my opinions.
No.
Every day.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I totally understand why he no longer listens.
No, I irritate her, man.
Yep,
she thinks I'm way too mean. She doesn't like it.
The word in my house is you're just way too intense.
Oh, that Mark is, or
no,
you?
That
are.
I'm too intense.
Well, I agree.
He doesn't need an extra hour on purpose.
Adrian likes
of
me.
My intensity.
Yeah, Adrian. Adrian likes us.
It's for
Adrian
some
likes
reason
me. It's her.
Fine.
It's her. He doesn't like
when
right.
Mark is intense. When Mark is opinionated. When Ross is a doorknob. But it's not fine when I'm any
hey!
Of those things.
It's because he has to live with you.
I know. It's not.
That's the point.
I know. It's just
when you're not
as
married
fun.
To it, oh, it's really
yes.
insightful.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's quite brilliant.
wow, you're very bold. When yes. you're married to it, it's like, oh, good
you're
Lord,
a moron.
Shut up.
Yeah. Somebody in the chat room the other day said some comment about, oh, your husband must just adore you and love being with you.
She's like, you don't really know me.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm a little much for him. I know I am. I know I am. God bless him. He lives and stays with me anyway.
Your poor stoic British husband.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, he married me. What the heck?
He did.
He
wow,
did.
Just because you're cute. That'll teach him.
There's something that comes along with cute, you guys. You know, you can't just take the cute.
That'll teach you right there, buddy.
That'll learn him. Now you got me giggling. Okay, stop laughing. All right, this email says, I've got one question pertaining to sex. Well, at least it's just one question.
Right. Okay.
She says, I'm married with two children and often hear on your show about women depriving their husbands with sex. What is the ideal amount of sex per month that make both the husband and the wife be satisfied? She said, I just heard this lady who had just...
What?
She says, I just heard about this lady on the show who deprived her husband earlier in their marriage, and now that she's older, she craves it, and he denies it. I don't want to make my husband to not want it when I'm finally in my prime. So I asked her, is your husband complaining that you're depriving him? She says, well, yes. He pokes fun at how little he gets it, so it's not necessarily complaining. And then I ask, well, does he try to initiate and you turn him down, or he wants you to initiate, or just exactly what's the dynamic at work here? She says, he'll hint around and be like, so am I going to get lucky tonight? And I just laugh. She just laughs at him. I don't give him an answer either way. I just wait to see how the night goes. So he goes to bed around the same time as the kids, and I don't like to initiate anything if the kids are awake, and he wants to be sleeping by 9, so I know he will either have to go to bed later or will have to put the kids down earlier. That I understand. She says, I haven't ever turned him down if he initiates, unless I think the kids are awake. He has gone to bed, and I thought that I would be right in after him. But then, well, being a mom, my job never ends, so I end up picking up, taking the dog out, getting stuff ready for the kids the next morning, so I don't get to him right away, and he's snoring by the time I get there. But I do have to confess that there are times I look for things to do, so I don't need to have to be with him, but not always.
Oh, yikes.
She says, I don't want to train my hubby into not wanting sex, but I'm afraid that's exactly
what's happening.
She's doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, then don't do that. Yeah. Stop doing it.
She
Look,
says
people
they,
have great
married,
sex lives. Yeah. They have them on purpose.
They've been married 8 years. They're only in their early 30s. So,
Yeah.
And note to the dude to say, so am I going to get lucky tonight? You're probably going to get the answer.
When he says that, you
got to
whip out a coin.
That's what I said.
You got to whip out a coin. Heads or tails.
That's right.
That's 50-50. What I said.
Just say, and what you ought to do is get one of these... coins with both have like heads on.
Yeah,
them.
Yeah.
And just say, okay, tails, you get sex, heads, you know, you flip it. Yeah. Sorry, heads.
That's
I guess
right.
You're not lucky.
You
rock,
know,
paper, scissors.
I mean, that's not how you initiate
Here you go.
Sex.
Do rock, paper, scissors. That's how you know. Yeah, not exactly the most romantic thing.
Hey, am I going to get lucky? Hey,
that's
hey,
like,
you.
That's the same thing as saying, hey, you want to have sex? I mean, it's not going to work. Hey. I said to my husband, you ask me, am I going to get lucky? I told him my answer would be, only if you're going out to the casino tonight. That's not a good question. That's not a good way to go about it.
He goes to
it.
Bed when the kids go to bed?
Yeah.
You got to put them down early, what, at like 5 o'clock? Sorry, kids, but got to go to bed early tonight.
Hey, I'm going to get naked. Hey, you.
I don't know.
Is that brassiere kind of tight? You want to get that off?
Yeah. There's right ways to go about it, dude, and then there's wrong ways.
Not exactly Mr. Romance.
No. I don't think that I'd be terribly interested in that, to tell you the truth.
Well, it sounds like they're both kind
my
of...
Guess
I mean,
is,
it's a two-sided
my
thing.
My guess
right.
is they'll probably be fine. They sound pretty normal to me.
Yeah.
At least you're still laughing about it. So, but I'd play this for your husband so we can make fun of him.
Do it on
no,
purpose.
don't play it for your husband because then he's going to find out that sometimes you really are looking for something else to
well,
do than rather be with him.
Well, she needs to stop that. Well, if he just puts
he probably
effort
knows.
Into it, I'm sure he does. Yeah, she's picking up again. She's ignoring me. Yeah. I'm sure
what
that
you
he's
don't
very
wanna,
aware.
But she gets it. I don't want to train my husband not to want to have sex because he will pull away from you.
Yeah,
you want a man who will be passionately on the hook with you for the rest of your life. You women who do this, when you're later in life, it's not so funny now. Because now you're more interested in sex. He's not. Now you're lonely and miserable. Is that really what you want? You want to be staring at a stranger across from the table at later on in life? Another problem, too, is that one of the reasons a lot of couples are not interested in sex is because they quit touching. They quit spending time holding hands. And the more you touch, the more you want to be touched. Couples get themselves in trouble because they quit touching, and then they're wondering, gee, well, I wonder why I'm not interested in it anymore.
Right.
So, but beyond that, look, every couple, usually one person is interested and the other one's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it is. There are those glorious moments. May God be praised forever. They both want sex. Hallelujah. You know, it's great. But usually one does, one really isn't all that interested, and you work through it.
But you have to work at it. You just can't ask, do you want to have sex? Do you want to get naked? Do you want to get lucky? I mean, if you are the higher sex drive person, you need to do something a little bit more than that.
It's not always that, though.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying. I know people that that's what it is. I seriously know people that that's what it is. That they don't do anything but ask. You just don't ask.
Hey, want to get naked? Hey, I'm sorry, but we're at the shopping center. Come on.
Now, if you're the lower sex drive person and you ask the higher sex drive person, you're probably going to get
all in.
But if you're the higher person asking the lower person, you need to do more than just ask. Do you wanna? Seriously.
The next time your husband just says, hey, you want to have sex? Just look at him and say,
why? What's the significance? I don't know.
That's funny. Everybody will be quoting Pee Wee Herman to their spouses.
Just work it out. Everybody has to deal with this. Very few people do not have this problem at some level, which is good news. It means you're not the only ones and you're not totally crazy, but seriously, he needs to do a better job than, hey, want sex?
Yeah.
That's not being much of a lover.
Right. And you don't want to train him to not keep after you either. So
exactly.
There's
so
something on both sides.
It's my guess, based on the playfulness of what she's saying, is they're probably fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he's really miserable, he's probably going to tell her, I would think.
It would get beyond that. Am I going to get lucky?
I don't know. See, a lot of guys, they don't argue. They just shut down. Actually, most... Yeah, you don't want that. But she's aware of it. I think she'll be okay.
Yes.
Pay attention. Work it out. I wish it was all easy. Wouldn't it be great?
Wouldn't it be great
if all this was easy?
It is in my home.
Sex would be easy. Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure it is, Ross. I'm sure.
Wouldn't it be great if
I'm just speaking things
communication
into existence.
Was easy?
It's
that
so
what
hard.
You needed to communicate
marriage
was
so
easy.
Hard.
Wouldn't it be just great if it just, you
I'm
know.
The name it, claim it. This is how it's going to be.
Yeah. You know, I got a recording of Ross asking for his wife to be nice to him. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Please let me in.
Yeah. As the door slams, no.
Oh. All right, you guys, that's enough for today. See ya.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.